As a hakdama to the shir, I wanted to spend about a minute and a half explaining how I'm not related to the great Rosh Hashiva and Tzaddik who taught here of Shimon Ram, just because I was told that people have the questions, so we might as well clear the air before we get started. I was zochet to know Harav Ram as the Talmud here in the yeshiva. We spell our name exactly the same, both in English as well as in Hebrew. We both use the Hebraicized spelling of Ram, Reish Mem. My grandfather, Olav HaShalom, spelled it in Yiddish, Reish Aleph Mem, but my father changed it to Hebrew. We are absolutely not related to one another. I have a shtickel Torah to explain how we're not related. Rav Ram, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, was born into this world as Rav Shimon Visoker. And when he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael following the war, he was from the town of Visok. Visok apparently translates as exalted, as high up, so he Hebraicized the name to Ram when he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael following the war years, and that's the name that stuck with him. He was a Spitz Litvak. I believe he was Rabbi Samuel Belkin's roommate, if I'm not mistaken, when they learned in Radin together under the Chofetz Chaim. Our family was Romanovsky from the Ukraine and shortened the name when they came to America sometime towards the beginning of the 20th century. So I can say, Behechlet Belishum Sofek, that we are not related to one another, although I get the question approximately every other day or so as to whether we happen to be related. So I just want to put that on the table so there should be no questions going forward. The topic for today, as Rav Nosson mentioned, is now that we changed the clock, how late can I daven mincha? We're still adjusting to the transition into Eastern Standard Time from Daylight Savings Time. And one of the noticeable differences for Jews with Shomer Torah Mitzvahs is that all of a sudden, the shuls are davening mincha in the fours. All of a sudden, the shkia comes much, much earlier. How does that impact on our davening mincha? So what I really want to discuss today, besides the cuteness of the title, is really two issues in halacha. First of all, what is the last time that one is able to daven mincha? We certainly know that if we go to different communities in Klal Yisrael, there are incredibly varying practices as to how late one is allowed to daven mincha. What's the basis for these various practices? Number two, something we're going to get involved in a little bit, is trying to define the period that's known in halacha as the Bein Hashmashos, the twilight period. Exactly what is that, how long does that last for, and how does that impact, if it does, on Tfilas Mincha. Take a look at the source sheets. Source number one is a well-known Mishnah from the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachas, where the Mishnah lays out the various different Zmanim during which one is allowed to daven. Tfilas HaShachar Ad Chatzos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Arba Shos. The Mishnah first addresses the end time for being able to daven the Shemoneh Esrei of Shacharis, whether till noon or till four halachic hours into the day. Tfilas HaMincha Ad HaErev. The Mishnah states that one is allowed to daven Mincha Ad HaErev, until evening. And that term, we know, is somewhat ambiguous and will lead to a lot of the discussion we have over here. We know classically that the halacha recognizes two important points in terms of when evening comes. One, we refer to as Shkia Sachama, or Shkia, when the ball of the sun disappears below the horizon. The second, we refer to as Tseis HaKochavim, the emergence of the stars, or we might say in more in broader terms, we'll try to define this a little bit later on, when it gets dark. We know that from the time that the sun dips below the horizon until the point that it actually gets dark, there's an interval of a certain amount of time. When the Mishnah says Tfilas HaMincha Ad HaErev, which of these endpoints does it have in mind? Does it have in mind Shkia, the setting of the sun, or does it have in mind Seis HaKochavim, when it gets dark? Interestingly enough, Rashi comments on this Mishnah. Rashi says two words. Rashi writes in source number two, Ad HaErev, one is allowed to daven Mincha until evening, says Rashi, Ad Chashecha, until it gets dark. It seems like Rashi is taking the position
that one is allowed to daven mincha all the way until Tzeis HaKochav, until the stars actually emerge. And it's not simply moderately dark, as it is after the sun dips below the horizon. Again, just, you know, to put it in colloquial terms, you could probably drive with, at least in New York, you could probably drive with your headlights off for a good 10 minutes or so after the sun sets, and you'd still be okay. After about 10 minutes, I wouldn't recommend it. But for the first 10 minutes or so after the sun sets, there's sufficient light outside that you could probably drive. But Rashi seems to be indicating very clearly, ad chashecha, when the Mishnah says that you can daven tefillas hamincha until evening, it means literally until it's dark, until the stars come out. The truth is, if one looks in many of the formulations of the Ashkenazi Rishonim in particular, they paraphrase this Mishnah by describing how one can daven tefillas hamincha ad halayla, until night. If you look in the Tur Lamashal, so the Tur gives that formulation, you have ad halayla to daven mincha, which, again, one can argue that layla might mean shkia, but the more straightforward interpretation of what layla means, generally speaking, is until Tzeis HaKochavim. It certainly sounds like from Rashi and from the Tur and other Ashkenazi Rishonim that the end point for being able to daven mincha is Tzeis HaKochavim. Two sources which explicitly argue on what seems to be this position are sources number 3 and number 4. The Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah printed on the Rif in the back of Brachas. As we'll see in a moment, the Rambam in source number 4. The Rabbeinu Yonah in source number 3 writes as follows. Tfilas HaMincha Ad HaErev. Again, the Mishnah says that one can daven mincha until evening. Ein lefaresh ad yitzias hakochavim shehu laylo mamash. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, one should not interpret ad ho'erev as meaning until tzeis hakochavim, until the stars come out, which is laylo, which is night, in the fullest sense of the term. In other words, although he doesn't reference Rashi, it sounds like the Rabbeinu Yonah is arguing on the implication in Rashi, don't say that ad ho'erev means until it gets dark. The Al Korcho Islam Lemeimar, the Ad Ho Erev Ha Omer Bekan, Eino Rod Salomar Ella Ad Shkia Sachama. It's clear, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, that when the Mishnah speaks of saying, of davening Mincha Ad Ho Erev, until evening, it clearly means until sunset, not until it gets dark, i.e. Tzei Sakochavim. What's my proof for this? Says Rabbeinu Yonah as follows. Mishum Dahochi Aminin Bezvachim. The Gemara in Tzvachim says as follows: Minayin ledam shenifsal b'shkias hachama. The Mishnah in Tzvachim establishes that the blood of the carbon, that the blood of a carbon, is no longer fit for sprinkling on the mizbeach after shkias hachama, after the setting of the sun comes around. Let's just elaborate on this a little bit. We know that when a carbon is brought up, when any carbon is brought to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there are various different avodos, there are various different sacred activities that are associated with the bringing of that carbon. The kapara, the atonement, which is brought about by bringing a carbon, is associated primarily with the dam, with the bringing of the blood, specifically the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach, the Mishnayos speak about 4 different avodos that are performed in order to collect the blood. The animal is shechted, the blood is collected, kabbalah, it's collected in a receptacle. There's holacha, the blood is brought to the mizbeach. And then finally, the zrikas hadam, the blood itself is applied or sprinkled on the mizbeach. And it's that application of the blood to the mizbeach, to the altar, which is considered to be the kapara, that which affects and brings about the atonement of the carbon. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Gemara says in Tzvachim, that the dam, the blood, can no longer be sprinkled after the Shkia Sachama, after sunset. And he elaborates, Rod Salomar, the Mishkia Sachama v'eloch, eno zman zrikas dam tomid shobeno arbayim, right, that after the sun has set, after Shkia, one can no longer sprinkle the blood of the Talmid Shobein HaArbayim, of the afternoon Karban. Utfilas HaMincha he keneged Talmid Shobein HaArbayim. As the Gemara makes pretty clear in the fourth parak of Brachos, one of the reasons we daven Mincha is to correspond to that Ben Arbayim, to that afternoon Karban, which is brought on a daily basis. The Gemara there says that the three daily tefillah bond to three Karbanos, or aspects of Karbanos. Shacharis corresponds to the Talmud Shal Shachar, Mincha corresponds to the Talmud Shal Ben HaArbayim, and Mayriv corresponds to the Hekter Chalav Veivorim, to the burning of the remnants of the Karbanos on the Mizbeach. And it's for that reason that the Gemara says that the obligation to daven Mayriv is somewhat less solid than the obligation to daven Shachris and Mincha. There is an opinion in the Gemara, as we know, that Tfilas Arvis Rishus, that it's not actually mandatory to daven Mayriv, it's somewhat more optional, and again, exactly what that means is debated among the Rishonim. But in any case, the tefillah of Mincha corresponds to the Talmid Shal Ben HaArbayim. So therefore, the sprinkling of the blood is going to be nifsal b'shkiyas hachama. It's going to be invalidated once the sun sets. V'ikar atomid u'zrikas hadam. And we know that the main kapara, the main atonement of the Karban Talmid, is the sprinkling of the blood. V'chihechi shizrikas hadam ein zmano ela ad shkiyas hachama. Just as you can't sprinkle the blood after Shkia, Hachanami, Tfilas HaMincha, Sheniskeno, Kinegdo, so too, Mincha, which is supposed to correspond to the Talmud Shel Ben HaArbayim, Ein Zmano Ela Ad Shkia Sachamo Bilvod. Right? One is not allowed to daven until Shkia, because that's the deadline for being able to do the Zrikas Hadam of the Karban Talmud. So says Rabbeinu Yonah, again, very, very clearly, that Shkia is the absolute last time. Sounds like both L'chadchila and B'diyevah to be able to daven Mincha, because of this correspondence that exists between Tfilas Mincha and the Zrikas Hadam of the Talmud Shel Ben HaArbayim. Now, we should just note that the question of how late you can daven Mincha, as we're going to see, is a question which is not only debated in the Rishonim, but into the Achronim, and as we know, you know, very much, even in contemporary practice, is observed differently in different parts of Klal Yisrael. Some of the Achronim who champion the idea that one is allowed to daven Mincha even after Shkia take issue with this Rabbeinu Yonah on the following grounds. They argue that if you look back at the Gemara in Zvachim, it is not entirely self-evident that the Gemara in Zvachim is invalidating even the Zrikas Hadam of the Karban Talmud after Shkia. The original context over there, the Gemara is really talking about the Karban Pesach and the inability to be Zarek the Dam of the Karban Pesach after Shkia. It's not clear that the Gemara would make such a statement with regard to the Talmud Shel Ben HaArbayim as well. So that's just to throw a name out there. One of the essays in the Sefer Shagas Aryeh, which talks about this very issue, whether one is allowed to daven Mincha after Shkia or not, Shagas Aryeh quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah and spends most of his essay speaking not so much about the halachas of tefillah per se, but rather about the halachas of kodshim, of karbanos, and he tries to demonstrate that from a karbanos perspective, it's not actually true that the dam of the talmid Shel Ben HaArbayim is going to be invalidated after Shkia. So, you know, the Shagas Aryeh argues on the Rabbeinu Yonah from that perspective. Be that as it may, the Rabbeinu Yonah strongly says that because of this correspondence between the Talmud, the Zrikas Hadam of the Talmud, and the Tefillah of Mincha, one is not allowed to daven Mincha, sounds like even B'dievet after the Shkia. A similar conclusion seems to emerge from the Rambam in 4, Rambam Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Gimel Dalet. Holamaritosh is man Mincha Gedolim Yishei Shos V'Mechsa Ateisha Shos V'Mechsa. Uzman mincha ketana miteisha shalos umechsa shishar min ayom shal revia. Right? The Rambam speaks about the earliest times one can daven mincha, and then he concludes v'yesh lo lehispalil osa ad shetishka hachama. One should daven mincha up until sunset shkia sachama. So again, the Rambam doesn't explain, whether or not he holds of the entire cheshbon, the calculation of Rabbeinu Yonah, but bottom line, the Rambam does accept the position of the Rabbeinu Yona that Shkia Sachama is the deadline for being able to daven mincha. If it's indeed true, as we said before, that Rashi and the Tur, and as we'll see, other sources as well, hold that one is allowed to daven mincha later than Shkia, up until the point of Tzei Sakochavim, how does one respond to the position articulated by Rabbeinu Yonah that says that being that Filas Mincha corresponds to the Talmud Shobein HaArbayim, and the Zrikas Hadam of the Talmud Shobein HaArbayim has to be done by Shkia? So that's a pretty solid argument. How would one respond to that if one were to take the position, like Rashi and others do, that one is allowed to daven mincha up until Tzei Sakochavim? At least one answer seems to lie in source number 5, in the Hagos Maimonios to the Rambam. Hagos Maimonios is a collection of psakim from the Talmidim of the Maharam Rotenberg. So in other words, we're talking about, even though it's printed on the bottom of the page of the Rambam, this has nothing to do with the Rambam per se. Essentially, the Hagos Maimonios is the counterpoint to the Rambam. It's the collection of the psakim of the Balei HaTosfos and the Talmidim of the Maharam Rotenberg, where they differ with the Rambam. So the Hagos Maimonios, cited in source 5, says as follows: We paskin kirabonon, the Omri ad ha'erev. Right? We paskin like the Rabbanon. There is a dissenting opinion of Rabbi Yehuda who says that you have to finish davening mincha by plaga mincha sometime before the evening. We don't hold that way. We hold like the Rabbanon, the Chachamim, who say that you're allowed to daven mincha all the way up to the evening. And then in the second line, the Hagos Maimonios writes as follows: Kosev Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, right, one of the earliest of the Rishonim, writes as follows: V'achshav noag kol Yisrael ki Rabbanon, lispalo mincha ad ha'erev. We, the minhag Yisrael, is to daven mincha all the way up to the evening. Uchi Reb Yossi, the Omar B'Yerushalmi, lo hukshot tfilas mincha l'tomik shobein ha'arbayim, elo liktoras. He quotes Reb Yossi and the Yerushalmi, who says that mincha is not compared to the Talmud Shalbein HaArbayim, rather it's compared to the Ktores, to the incense, which was offered up in the Beis HaMikdash twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Tikon Tfilosi Ktores Lefonecha. My tefillah should be acceptable as Ktores, as incense before you. And the continuation of that Pasuk, which is important for our purposes, is Masas Kapai Minchas Orev. Right? The offering of my hands, the Minchas Orev. Now, in context, in that Pasuk in Tehillah, Minchas Orev, the word Orev means acceptable or sweet, something which is Orev, right? But if you read the Pasuk with just a little bit of a change of the Nekudos, it becomes Minchas Erev, or Minchas Arev, the Mincha which is offered up in the evening. So in other words, based on that, the Yerushalmi says, oh, Minchas Erev, you know, the Mincha of the evening time is supposed to correspond to the Ktores, not so much to the Talmud Shalbein HaArbayim, but rather to the Ktores. And the Ktores can be offered up not only prior to the Shkia, but even can be brought Beino Arbayim. Visu, the Omer Rebbe, Ha'oset Filoso Keva Ain't Filoso Tachanunim, V'ukma Abay Bar Oven, V'Rav Chanino Bar Oven, Kol She'ain Mispalel Im Dimdu Mechama. The Omer Reb Chia Bar Abba, Omer Reb Yochanan, Mitzvah Lispalel Im Dimdu Mechama, Shenemar Yiraucha Im Shemesh. Our Gemara itself, in the first parak of Brachos, indicates that there is a mitzvah, again, to use the lashon of the Gemara, mitzvah lehispalel im dimdu mechama. It is a mitzvah to daven with the setting sun, the disappearing light of the sun, the shadows of the sun, right? As the pasuk says, Yiraucha Im Shemesh v'lifnei yoreach dor dorim, right? That people will come to perceive your presence Lifnei Yoreach, while the moon is already out, while the sun has set or is setting, which again seems to indicate a later time for Tfilas Mincha. V'afal gav delayit ala b'ma'arava, even though, if you look in the Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, they, so to speak, cursed the person who waited to daven Mincha too late when the sun was already setting. Hadi mili manda ma'acher tfei. That's only talking about if you wait to daven until it's really, really late. Avo kodem bias hashemesh kima'at shapir domi. But if one waits until slightly before bias shemesh, which is the setting of the sun, but as the Gemara indicates on the very first daf in Brachos, bias shemesh can also refer to the total setting of the sun, which is when it gets dark, seisa kochavim. If one is careful to daven close to the end of the zman, not waiting till after the zman, but close to the end of the zman, that's actually the ideal time to daven mincha. So that goes, Maimonides' lashon is a little bit ambiguous as to exactly when he wants to pinpoint the last time for davening mincha, but he makes, for our purposes, two important points. First of all, the Hagos Maimonides definitely is advocating davening mincha as late as possible. Again, it's not quite clear what he would consider as late as possible, whether it's right before the shkia or right before Tseis HaKochavim, but a case certainly can be made that he's advocating for davening mincha as late as Tseis HaKochavim. Perhaps even more importantly, the Hagos Maimonides tells us that when we think about the zman for tefilas mincha, we shouldn't focus on zmanim that are related to the Talmud Shobein Har Abayim. Rather, we should focus on the end time for being able to be maktir the ketores, to bring the incense that was brought Bein Har Abayim. Again, he says that based on Yerushalmi. That perspective, linking mincha to the ketores, as opposed to linking mincha to the Talmud Shobein Har Abayim, is a potential response to the position of Rabbeinu Yonah, who's insistent that mincha be davened by shkia and absolutely no later, because dam nifsal b'shkia sachama, because the blood of the carbon Talmud Shobein Har Abayim can no longer be sprinkled on the mizbeach from shkia and on. The Hagos Maimonides would respond that may be true, but that's not really relevant to Mincha. Mincha is tied to the Ketores, not to the Talmud Shobein Har Abayim. When we take what seems to be this Machlokes Rishonim and move into the realm of Shulchan Aruch, we find the following. Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, speaking about the proper time for davening Mincha, right, so here I'm going to skip through to the end. You look at the Ramah. Which is three lines from the end of this discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch again goes back and forth. Do you have to stop davening mincha by plaga mincha? Or do you have the right to go all the way to ha'erev, until the evening? And again, using the term from the Mishnah, which as we've seen is somewhat ambiguous. The Ramah writes explicitly, Haga uledidom bimdinos elu, shenoagin lispalel arvis mi plaga mincha. We, in these countries, the Ramah lived in Krakow, in Poland. So in our countries, in Poland, we daven an early Ma'ariv. We daven Ma'ariv already from Plaga Mincha. Again, not surprising for people living in Eastern Europe, where the sunset was quite late, so they preferred to daven Ma'ariv earlier, even during the week. Ein lo lispalo mincha acharkach. We should be careful, we in Poland should be careful to finish davening Mincha by Plaga Mincha, an hour and a quarter before the evening, and not wait till afterwards to daven. Uvidyevit, o bishas hadchak. However, if it's extenuating circumstances, writes the Ramah, yotza im mispalel mincha ad halayla, one can daven mincha all the way up to nighttime, dahainu ad seis hakochavim. The Ramah writes explicitly that one is allowed to daven mincha up until the time of Tseis HaKochavim, up until nightfall, when it gets dark. And we should note that when the Ramos speaks about this as being bidyeved or b'shas hadchak, he doesn't mean that you missed shkia. So, you know, bidyeved, you can daven up until say sakochavim. In context, the Ramos is saying, ideally, you should really daven mincha by plag hamincha, because we in Poland daven mayriv already from plag hamincha. Ideally, you should daven by plag hamincha. But if you missed plag hamincha, the next cutoff point is tseis. In other words, from the Ramos perspective, what we would call shkia doesn't necessarily seem to play a role at all. It's either lechatchila by plag or b'dieved by tseis hakochavim. Right? It would seem that the Ramos is simply going in the tradition of Rashi, the Hagos Maimoni, the Tur, and others, in identifying the end point, what the Mishnah means by Erev, as being Tseis HaKochavim. We move into the next stage of comments on the Ramah, though the Ramah says black on white that you can daven Mincha until Tseis HaKochavim. Come the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Brewer, the two great poskim, certainly of Lithuanian Jewry, and very uncomfortable advocating Lechatchila that one can daven up until Tseis HaKochavim. Essentially, both of them quote that there are certainly Rishonim who argue on this. We've seen that already. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, just to name two. And the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rambam and the Mishnah Brewer write, in light of those poskim who hold that, not like the Ramah, that you have to finish davening mincha by shkia sachama, lichatchila, one should daven by shkia sachama, one should not wait until tseis to daven mincha. The Mishnah Brura writes that this is true even at the expense of davening b'tzibur. Right? If you take a look at the Mishnah Brura, which is source 8, five lines into the Mishnah Brura, he writes, actually we'll start four lines in, Yesh poskim rabim shecholkim bozeh, since many poskim argue on this Ramah, v'daitam shetfila samincha hu rak kodem shkia sachama, that you dafka have to daven mincha before shkia, v'lochein l'chadchila tzar kolodom lizor lispalil kodem shkia sachama davka, l'chadchila one should davka daven before shkia, dahainu, should make sure to daven before the sun sets. And then he adds, umutov lehispalel bizmano biyichidus mil hispalel acharkach b'tzibur. It's even better to daven before shkia biyichidus rather than wait till the, you know, till after shkia, as if the only minion in town is davening after the shkia. It's better to daven b'yichidus and to be yotzei, according to Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, than to wait till after shkia and daven even with a minyan. U'b'di'evet, however, yuchal l'smol chaldas hamekilin l'spalil achar shkia ad reva shah kodem seis hakochavim. B'di'evet, where one missed the shkia, one does have the ability to daven a little bit into the period of the Bein Hashmashos, into the twilight period, and exactly how much leeway you have with that, we'll discuss Bez Hashem in a few minutes. In his Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Brewer elaborates on this. Again, in Mishnah Brewer, he presents it, L'chadchila, you should daven by Shkia, b'dieved, you can daven somewhat after the Shkia. And the Bir Halacha, which is in Source 9, he elaborates on this in a way that shows, to some extent, his discomfort with davening after the shkia, even b'dieved. Says the Bir Halacha, you know, if you end up having to daven mincha after the shkia, you should have in mind a t'nai. You should have in mind a condition. If I'm allowed to daven mincha after the shkia, great, fine. So I did what I was supposed to do. If I'm not allowed to daven mincha after the shkia, so my tfilas mincha should really be ma'ariv. And when I daven Ma'ariv later on, that should be Tashlumin, that should be the makeup for Mincha. Right? So from that Tznai, which the Bir Halacha suggests, again, not in Mishnah Brewer, but in Bir Halacha, it's clear that even B'dieved, he's not super comfortable with the notion of davening Mincha following the Shkia. The Aruch HaShulchan similarly writes very, very strongly about the idea of davening mincha before the shkia. He writes, He writes again towards the end of that paragraph. Mikom makom tzarich iyun shlo hiviu divrei Rambam. He doesn't understand why the Rambam, who clearly says that you have to daven by shkia, is left out of Shulchan Aruch, of the tour. Why his opinion is not acknowledged? V'lachein bevada yesh lachush ledvarav v'lisar shlo yispalo mincha achar hashkia. Right? Therefore, one should be careful halacha lemaisa and not daven mincha after the shkia, and the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't even provide what we might consider to be a bidyeved clause. You know, bidyeved, you have to say sakochavim. The Aruch HaShulchan, again, like the Mishnah Berurah, seems incredibly uncomfortable with the idea of davening after the shkia, even as a bidyeved. So let's bring this, having seen the sources, let's try to talk lemaisa in terms of this. In the current day climate, the question of how early to daven mincha to a large extent comes out to be a machlokas between chassidim and misnagdim, right? Not exclusively, but you know, one of the sure signs of your affiliation on which side of that line you fall out as a chassid or a misnagdim, whatever it is the question of davka, how late to daven shkia, with the non-Hasidic world very much embracing the idea of davening mincha before the shkia in many, many cases, again, as per the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Hasidic world to a large extent not only not being makpid on the shkia, but in many cases being makpid to daven after the shkia, closer to Tzeis HaKochavim. As much as this is, you know, sort of the common wisdom out there that it's a chassidish, a misnagdish thing, that's not entirely accurate as a description of the current situation. Let's start with Washington Heights, right? If we just, here in Yeshiva University, I'm pretty sure that we are makbid to daven before the shkia exclusively. There's certainly no minyanim whose times are set after the shkia. Are there yechidim from time to time who daven a little bit after the shkia? I assume that yeshiva is no different than anywhere else in the world where, you know, even after mincha is finished, there are people davening 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know, after the last minyan has finished. But if we simply walk down the hill to the Breuer's Kehillah, Kaladas Yeshura, so the practice there, going back to Rav Yosef Breuer, is to davka daven mincha a number of minutes after the shkia every day, to learn, and then to daven ma'ariv. What's the basis for that? Is that, Kaladas Yishurin is a chassidish shtab? You know, where did that come from? So my understanding, and again, if people here know otherwise, please correct me, but my understanding is that particular hanhaga was instituted by Rav Breuer Zatzal when the Breuer's Kehillah came here to the United States. It was apparently not, as I understand it, the minhag in Frankfurt. I don't know if anyone here goes back to Frankfurt, but it was apparently not the minhag in Frankfurt. Rav Eliyahu Glucksman, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, one of the Dayanim Breuers, told me that when Rav Breuer came to America, he was faced with the following dilemma. Let's say that we do what most shuls do today in America, and we daven mincha right before shkia, and then ma'ariv right after shkia. Right? That's, you know, 95% of the shuls in America, you know, follow that particular hanhaga. That's great. So we were machmir to daven mincha before the shkia. But by davening ma'ariv early, there's a very good chance that many people are going to go home and not repeat Kriyas Shema. Because we know that Kriyas Shema has to be recited after Tzeis HaKochavim, after it gets dark. And again, we'll see in a little bit what the definition of dark is exactly, but it's certainly not 5 minutes after the shkia, which is when many shuls are reciting Kriyas Shema in a typical Mincha Ma'ariv arrangement, said Rav Breuer, it would make much more sense to do as follows. Let's daven Mincha right after the shkia. The Rama says that's heter gamur, that's totally mutter. So Mincha takes 15 minutes, especially in Breuer's, you know, with all the chazanas, it certainly takes 15 minutes. We'll sit and learn for 15 minutes afterwards, and then by the time that we're already ready to daven ma'ariv, it will be, you know, 35, 40, maybe even 45 minutes after the shkia, and that's certainly considered to be late enough to daven, to consider it to be Tzeis HaKochavim, and thus the Balabatim will say Shema at that time, will have been Yotzei Kriyas Shema, will not have to repeat it, And even more than that, we won't run into a shaila of people being left dangling and not being coming to shul religiously, shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv, and yet missing out on the mitzvah of kriyas shema on a daily basis because they davened ma'ariv too early and didn't realize that it's important to read it afterwards. That apparently was Rav Breuer's cheshbon in davening mincha a little bit later so as to enable the ma'ariv to be davened at a proper time. And the truth is, when one thinks about it, not a bir cheshbon, right? In other words, you think about that relative to what many of the shuls in America do today, mincha right before the shkia, ma'ariv right after the shkia. You can definitely hear where he was coming from in terms of ensuring that kriya shema would be said bismana every night.
What is the halachic cheshbon of mincha before shkia and ma'ariv after shkia rather than mincha before the plag and ma'ariv after the plag?
So the truth is, I think there are two cheshbonos. One cheshbon is not halachic, it's just practical. It's hard enough getting people to shul right before shkia. Can you imagine, it's like on a day like today, so I think my shul were davening 4:35 or something like that, right? So plag ha-mincha is probably like 3:30. If we called mincha for 3:20, you know, I think there'd be far fewer people coming to mincha than if we called it for 4:35. I think that's probably the most practical cheshbon. Beyond that, there is a halachic cheshbon in saying ma'ariv right after the shkia, because there is a position in Rishonim.
Shkia is considered already lila.
Right, that it's already lila even le'inyan kriyas shema. So l'chatchila, certainly we don't rely on that. We tell people to say kriyas shema afterwards. It's very much a shita yechida, but it's perhaps enough to invoke to daven mincha ma'ariv in that fashion.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah.
I noticed yesterday that mincha was 5:15 p.m. Okay, it's 5:15 people remember, but the gematria of the eschonim is 5:15, which is the gematria of shiva and the gematria of shiva. So it's interesting that you bring this picture to shiva right now because we have the
after shiva,
because we have the recurrence cutting and recurring flexibility.
Yeah.
So my shiva is as follows, and the chatem is not the drach, you go down to the niyan to the inmate, asher yotza, which is
for
sure.
Okay. Okay. You know what? Let's go on a little bit, and then we'll get to the question Be'ez Hashem at the end. Okay. Shekayach. So that's first of all to understand is that the Hanhaga in Breuer's today stems from a reliance upon the Rama, which again, if we know the Minhagim of Kahal Adas Yishurun, the notion that the Rama trumps the Mishneh Brura Aruch HaShulchan, these Litvish poskim from several hundred years after the Rama, right, is not an unusual cheshbon whatsoever. And the cheshbon of davka davening mincha late in order to ensure a later ma'ariv is also something which is, very, very understandable. It doesn't work Friday night, but it's actually interesting in terms of zmanim. The Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchos Kabbalah Shabbos has a tirade against people who do the following. And I don't know if you know any people like this, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes, for years and years and years in the Kehillos in Europe, we would always daven Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv early, Friday night, right, to bring in Shabbos early to avoid Chilul Shabbos. Chadoshim Mikarov Ba'u, we have these newfangled people, they start davening Kabbalah Shabbos right at the moment of Shkia. They daven Mincha right before the Shkia Friday afternoon. And then they start davening Kabbalah Shabbos L'chun and Ranana as the sun has set, is in the process of setting. And that's a terrible thing because it's Gorem Chilul Shabbos. People are running last minute to Shul. And, I guess by the Aruch HaShulchan Nevar de Golso, when the Kehillah was saying Kabbalah Shabbos, you had half the Kehillah out in the vestibule davening in Mincha. Probably things haven't changed over hundreds of years. And it's terrible because these people are running to Shul last minute. They're being Mechal Shabbos because we're bringing in Shabbos at the last minute. Terrible, terrible, terrible. We need to go back to the good old way of doing things. Bringing in Shabbos an hour early, 2 hours early, and everyone should do that. I don't know anyone who does these terrible things that the Aruch HaShulchan is talking about, but that's his tirade, right? So the truth is, what Breuer's does is not exactly what the Aruch HaShulchan is describing as the early, as the old minhag, but it's similar to that. The idea of trying to daven early Leil Shabbos is something which the Aruch HaShulchan depicts as being minhag Yisrael mikadmus dano, you know, going back many, many hundreds of years. So that's, yes, you lose that on Kriya Shema that way, but I guess the minhag trumps it, you know, as in that
people
case.
People are less busy on Friday night to
yeah,
remember.
Right. Yeah, people will remember. They say it by the Suda, you know, whatever it happens to be. Interestingly enough, in the Ben Ish Chai, who was living in Baghdad towards the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century, also in Source 10, also speaks about Seis HaKochavim being the cut-off point for davening mincha, right? So here's someone coming out of the Sephardi world who speaks in those terms, also davening mincha up until Seis HaKochavim, and in more modern times, Rebbe Tzion Abba Shaul, and one of the great Sephardi poskim of the last generation, writes that, you know, if unlike the Mishnah Brura, who said that it's better to daven before the Shkia, b'yachidus, rather than daven after the Shkia with a minyan, so Rebbe Benzion Abba Shaul writes, no, if the minyan is within a certain short time after Tzeis HaKochavim, l'chadchila daven with the minyan, even though it's after Shkia. If the minyan is shortly after Shkia, during the Ben Hashmashos period, says Rebbe Tzion Abba Shaul, it would be kedai to daven with the minyan l'chadchila and to get tefillah b'tzibur, even though one is davening a little bit after the Shkia Sachama. So in the Sephardi world as well, in terms of the, you know, the many of the Sephardi poskim, there is an openness also to this idea of being able to daven mincha until Tzeis HaKochavim. Let's say, for argument's sake, that we are, you know, talmidim of the Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan. I think certainly most of us in this room l'chadchila would try to daven mincha by Shkia Sachama as per these poskim. But let's talk about b'diavad, right? B'diavad, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah do describe, I'm saying the Mishnah Berurah at least, does describe how b'diavad one can daven mincha past the Shkia until Tzeis HaKochavim. What does that mean practically? How long does one have until Tzeis HaKochavim? So let's outline briefly a major machlokas that goes back to the time of the Rishonim and is carried through the Achronim in terms of defining the period of Bein Hashmashos. Let's first note that there is a contradiction between two Gemaras, one in Shabbos, one in Psachim, as to the duration of time that elapses from Shkia until Tzeis HaKochavim. Gemara in Shabbos in the second parak writes that from Shkia until Tzeis HaKochavim, the amount of time that elapses is the amount of time that it would take you to walk 3/4 of a mil. How long is that exactly? If you assume that a mil is something that you can traverse in 18 minutes, which is a common shear that the post can hold, 3/4 of a mil comes out to 13.5 minutes. So in other words, there's 13.5 minutes from Shkia until Tzeis HaKochavim. The Gemara in Psachim indicates that from Shkia until Tzeis HaKochavim is the amount of time that elapses is the amount of time that it would take you to walk 4 mil. 4 mil, if you work with 18-minute milim, is 72 minutes. So here you have these two Gemaras that are very much in opposition to one another. Is Bein Hashmashos a 13.5 minute period? Or is Bein Hashmashos a 72 minute period? Right? So basically there are two schools of thought going back to the Rishonim and running through the Achronim about how to reconcile this perspective. Let's start with what's often referred to as the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Right? Rabbeinu Tam says, from the time that the sun sets until it becomes, for another 58.5 minutes after its sunset, is Vaday Yom. It's as clearly day as day could be. Unbelievable, right? I mean, in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, 55 minutes after sunset is Vaday Yom. Right? If a child, if a boy, a baby boy was born during that period of time, his bris would be right. Would be during a week from the from that morning. 1 second. 58 and a half minutes after sunset, says Rabbeinu Tam, begins the period of Ben Hashmashos, a period which is sort of day, sort of night, Safik Yom, Safik Laila, twilight. And 13 and a half minutes later, in other words, 72 minutes after the original sunset, is when it becomes Vaday Laila, when it certainly becomes night. So how do you reconcile the two Gemaras? From the original Shkia until Tseis is 72 minutes, but the last 13 and a half minutes of those 72 minutes are the Bein Hashmashos period, the period which is Safek Yom Safek Laila. For the first 58 and a half minutes is considered to be Vaday Yom. In much of the Hasidic world, not all of it, but in much of the Hasidic world, this Shita of Rabbeinu Tam is adapted certainly with regard to the end time of Shabbos, in other words, not to finish Shabbos before 72 minutes have elapsed. What may shock us a little bit more is that in major parts of Europe before the war, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam was considered to be authoritative in terms of when to bring in Shabbos. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, writing in Hungary in the mid-1800s, describes when you should light Shabbos candles. He writes that you should light Shabbos candles about half an hour before Tseis HaKochavim. If you tried lighting Shabbos candles today, about half an hour before Tseis HaKochavim, you would be probably thrown out of shul, right? If people knew. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, the proper time to light Shabbos candles is half an hour before Tseis HaKochavim. Why? Because the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam was considered to be authoritative, L'chumra and L'kula. That was their understanding of how the day works. You say, where did they get that from? So the truth is, again, I'm being Makatzer, the truth is, if you look in Hilchas Shabbos, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah adapt Shitas Rabbeinu Tam in terms of describing when one should bring in Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Not just L'chumra, but L'kula. So in other words, Rabbeinu Tam's Shita is not some kind of outlier Shita, not some kind of strange, Shitas Yachid or something like that. Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is actually adapted by the Shulchan Aruch, by the Ramah, and was common practice in major parts of Europe up until the Jews, came to America and Eretz Yisrael after the war. Right? It's well known that when Satmar came to Williamsburg after the war, the Satmar Hasidim were following Rabbeinu Tam as they did back in Hungary, both L'kula and L'chumra. And the Rabbanim got together in Williamsburg. The Yonason Steif, the Wiener Rav, was very involved in this compromise. Basically, they called in the Satmar and other groups in Williamsburg and said, look, we can't have it where some people are in the middle of Davin and Kabbalah Shabbos and other people in town are still coming out of the mikvah and just kind of starting to think about being the Kabbalah Shabbos. We can have different times in terms of when Shabbos ends, but in terms of when Shabbos begins, we all have to be on the same page. And there was a Kabbalah in Williamsburg in the early years following the war that all of the various groups should adapt whatever they wanted in terms of the end of Shabbos, but should bring in Shabbos with the beginning of the Shkia. What's the other opinion that disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam? So this opinion is associated with the Rambam. It's associated with the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon in Hilchos Shabbos, again, you have it on source number 13 at the bottom of the page. The Vilna Gaon goes back to these two Gemaras, right? One Gemara that says that you have 3/4 of a meal from Shkia until Tseis. Another Gemara that says that you have 4 milin from Shkia until Tseis. Says the Vilna Gaon, the main Gemara is the one that speaks of 3/4 of a meal from Shkia until Tseis. In other words, until Tseis HaKochavit, from the time the sun sets until Shkia, you have 13 and a half minutes. 13 and a half minutes after the sun sets, it's already dark, it's Tseis HaKochavit. What's the 72 minutes? So the 72 minutes is Tseis Kol HaKochavim. That's when the entire sky fills up with stars, not just 3 stars, but when the entire sky becomes dark That's the significance of the 72 minutes. So Soloveitchik and Zatzal explained, so what? Okay, so if you're an astronomer, so that's very exciting. But, you know, who cares that the entire sky is filled up with stars? So Soloveitchik said, that's the last time that you can extend Tosefes Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos. In other words, we know that you're supposed to add on a little bit of Shabbos after Shabbos has officially come to an end, but what does that mean? So I can keep keeping Shabbos until Tuesday? I mean, what's the statute of limitations? The statute of limitations is 72 minutes after the Shkia. That's the latest that I can keep Shabbos in a way that is considered to be significant. But according to the Vilna Gaon, so from Shkia until Tseis is 13 and a half minutes.
But no, then the Shalshudas has to be over by before 72 minutes.
Shalshudas, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, according to this Vilna Gaon, again, obviously,
yeah.
Those Chassidish Chaserut, you know, places where they keep Shalshudas, where they tape the Rebbe's, you know, speaking by Shalshudas. Obviously, they're working with a different set of criteria. but again, from the Gaon's perspective, you know, 72 minutes would be the end point. You know, the absolute latest time that you can keep Shabbos. Says. But the Gaon then adds a very important point. 13 and a half minutes is how long it takes to get to Tseis HaKochavim in Eretz Yisrael, which is close to the equator, and during the spring and fall, when the days are mostly, days and nights are mostly equal to one another, around the equinox. However, the further you move away from the equator in either direction, and during the winter and summer, the 13 and a half minute shear is going to expand. It's going to expand. 13 and a half is the quickest that you'll get from Shkia to Tseis HaKochavim, but depending on where you are and what time of year it is, the time of Tseis HaKochavim can vary. Okay, so what does that mean in practical terms? So there are various astronomers who have done calculations to try to adjust the Zman of the Vilna Gaon to different places and different times of the year. How do you do that? Well, basically you can figure out at 13 and a half minutes in Nisan, in Eretz Yisrael, the sun creates a certain angle with the horizon. If you just extrapolate that angle and apply it to various different locales and various different times of year, you can extrapolate what the Vilna Gaon's Tseis would be in various different places and at various different times. In New York, the Vilna Gaon's Tseis comes out to be somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes following the Shkia, you know, depending on the time of year, right? It would seem, if one follows the Vilna Gaon's perspective on Shkia and Tseis HaKochavim. In other words, one doesn't typically follow Rabbeinu Tam, but one follows the idea that Shkia is basically the end of the day. And Tseis HaKochavim is a period that takes place not long after the Shkia. It would seem like, based on this, one would have 20-25 minutes b'dieved after Shkia to be able to daven mincha. Again, within the Mishnah Brura's way of looking at the world, that Shkia is lichatila, and one should b'dieved, one has until Tseis HaKochavim. Indeed, I saw brought that in the name of Aaron Kotler, Zatzal, that he would tell people b'dieved, you have 25 minutes after the Shkia to daven. Right? Where did he get those 25 minutes from? Again, the source I saw did not explain, but I imagine that he was working with this cheshbon of the Vilna Gaon as seeing Tseis HaKochavim as being somewhere around 20-25 minutes within the New York area. And, based on that, b'dieved gave you that amount of time to be able to daven mincha. So, ha'amor mikol anal, right? No one would say end Shabbos after 25 minutes, but I'll tell you as follows. So the reason we don't end Shabbos 20-25 minutes is because of the Chumrah of Shabbos.
If someone dies after the yard site about 25 minutes, be the next day, someone dies after 25 minutes after sunset?
It could be. I mean, you're certainly in a suffix at that point. But we say, by the way, I mean, when it comes to yard site, you know, somebody passes away, Ben HaShmashos, there's an inyan to try to keep both days as the yard site.
According to the satmar that would keep us 58 minutes after the sunset.
Right. This would not work from a satmar perspective. From a satmar perspective, I mean, if you go to the satmar beis medrash, they are davening mincha up until 70 minutes after the shkia, without batting an eyelash, right? Not even 58 and a half minutes. I mean, they'll go all the way to the 72. I remember I once went into satmar to catch a mayriv, and they were just finishing up the minchas. They were like 65 minutes after the shkia, so the guy who got up to daven made a hecha kedusha, because we're already towards the end of the zman. But that's coming from Rabbeinu Tam's perspective. Yeah.
The Weitzner Rav Eisel's itself was in Chicago, and my father told me he was once in a gathering of Rabbanim, and they looked at the clock, and they said, we have to have mincha. And they had exactly 10 people. And I asked the Vice Rav, he says, well, I'll be mitzvah, but never in my life have I done mincha before the streetlights came on.
Okay, in Ochinam. So that's that's this perspective, to davka daven late. Yeah.
Promotion of 8 minutes.
Right, so Rav Moshe had a very interesting sheet over here, more like 9 or 10 minutes. Rav Moshe held as follows, and again, you have to work to figure it out. Rav Moshe held that the 72 minutes of Rabbeinu Tam is the absolute latest time that Seisak Ochavim could ever be. However, in New York, he felt that already it gets as dark as it does in other places at 72 minutes. It gets that degree of darkness here at 50 minutes. So in other words, reduce everything. And then he said, proportionately, if we're reducing 70 to 50, and you do the math, so 13 and a half comes out to around 9. Right? So in other words, that's how Rav Moshe came to this idea that somehow 9 minutes after the Shkia is a quasi Ben Hashmashas period, and already 9 minutes after the Shkia, Rav Moshe felt, was already says, according to the Vilna Gaon, adjust for the New York area. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal looked at it very, very differently. Rav Soloveitchik felt that, again, somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes was says, according to the Vilna Gaon. In Maimonides, he was noheg that they would daven Mayriv Motzei Shabbos 30 minutes after the Shkia, which is probably earlier than most of our shuls daven, and they would make Havdalah already 42 minutes after the Shkia, mostly because of Tosefes Shabbos. But again, just to take other examples from other practices in the Jewish world today, the Vishnitzer Chassidim basically will daven Mayriv already 20 minutes after the Shkia. Not necessarily Motzei Shabbos, but because of Tosefes Shabbos, but during the week, they will hold that that's already Seisak Ochavim. Again, some version of the Vilna Gaon Shita applied to the New York area. Yeah.
Does the 72 minutes also vary by season? In other words, in the summer it should be longer, right, 72, and the winter shorter?
That's a really good question. So Brisk held yes. And that's why you hear these stories of the Briskers, all the Soloveitchik family, keeping Shabbos like forever. Right, because basically the cheshbon is that 72 minutes is also adjustable based on the time of year and the place, which could end up having Shabbos go a very, very long time. That's the opposite of what Rav Moshe held. Rav Moshe held the 72 minutes is the absolute maximum, and we scale down from there. Brisk held 72 minutes is the minimum, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and then we scale up, from this. It's totally different perspectives on how to look at that. I have about a minute, so I just want to conclude with a little bit of Emilia de Agadita. So again, we've analyzed the halacha in terms of davening mincha. Again, ideally we've seen many posts who say that you should daven mincha by the shkia. Bidyeved, there is a large body of opinion that says that one can daven mincha after the shkia until Tseisak Ochavim, and Bidyeved, certainly even those pro-shkia advocates will allow a certain amount of leeway to daven Bidyeved up until some variant of Tseisak Ochavim. We saw that one of the issues at play is whether we compare mincha to the Korban Tamid or to the Ketores. And the question could be asked, why would we compare Mincha to the Ketores? I mean, after all, our Gemara, our Talmud Bavli is pretty clear that we're comparing the Tfilos Keneged Tmidim Tiknum, we're comparing them to the Karbanos. Ketores, we know, has a very, very special, if you will, is very desirable kivyachol, in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ktaris is the only carbon that's brought bifnim, on Mizbeach HaPnim, the inner Mizbeach. Ktaris is brought on Yom Kippur, lifnai v'lifnim, in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Ktaris, we see in the Chumash, has the power to offset a magefa. There's something incredible about Ktaris. The Kli Yakar writes on Chumash that whereas the other karbanos are being makriv, the guf, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ktaris represents the idea of being makriv, the neshama, before the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a correlation between neshama and reyach. And when we bring Ktaris, we bring our neshama before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Comparing Mincha to Ktaris may speak to the fact that Mincha, of all the tefillos, is especially beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because think about it, again, in our own practice. Shacharis, you're a good Jew, you get up in the morning, daven Shacharis, not too hard. Ma'ariv, you come home at the end of the day, you go to shul, you learn a little bit, you daven Ma'ariv, not too hard. Mincha means, to daven Mincha means you have to take out time in the middle of your work day. And especially now that we've changed the clocks, and you have to have Mincha early, I mean, even if you're a Seisak HaChavim person, but you got to daven Mincha at least somewhere before 6 o'clock, you know, I mean, you don't have forever. Right? The idea that you have to take out time in the middle of work to daven, to stop your affairs and daven, is beloved before the Ribbono Shel Olam like the Ktaris itself. So, wherever we hold in terms of this machlokas, we should take away from this discussion the incredible importance of Tefillas HaMincha. The Gemara says in Brachos, Lo Nana Eliyahu, but Tefillas HaMincha Eliyahu was answered by Mincha time, and that means that Mincha is especially important, and halavai that we should be zocha to have our tefillos accepted before the Ribbono Shel Olam, Mincha and all the other tefillos, kiminchas orev, like this mincha which is so beautiful and pleasant before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much.